Our podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. For more than 20 years, helping people look forward to their retirement years with confidence. And if you get a chance to rate our podcast on your provider, we'd appreciate you taking the time to do that. And now, today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. And it is Tuesday, February 14th. Above average investing is for the average investor is what we always talk about every day, trying to improve everybody's ability to invest and knowledge. You can check in right now or anytime. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. And of course, it is Valentine's Day, so I hope you did something for your Valentine. Now, you might find yourself out of love with your financial advisor. Yesterday, Justin talked about determining just what kind of advisor you were dealing with. Were they an advisor or a salesman? There are many, many advisors out there that do not manage money. They just gather money and hand it off to some other firm to manage, and they pretend that they are managing it. That is very common in my industry. Anyway, it's 888-99-CHARTER is our number. We're going to talk about that. What are some of the warning signs of a flawed financial advisor? By the way, most of them are completely trustworthy and knowledgeable. Don't think I'm, remember, I'm part of that group. But most of them are completely trustworthy and knowledgeable and really do want to help you. But there are some bad apples out there, and of course, they give everybody the bad reputation. One of the warning signs I'll tell you when you start looking for an advisor to help manage your money is if they're in a big rush, if they're pushing you, they're telling you, we got to do this, XYZ, this idea is going to expire. Don't let anybody push you. That's a big warning sign. Anybody's trying to rush you, you go do something else. You walk away. And another problem, if they don't clearly and immediately volunteer how they make money off of you, because they're making money off of you. Whatever you invest, they're going to make money. How they make money is important. How much they make. And, of course, you're always, always, if you have an investment advisor, you have a custodian, you are entitled and should get monthly statements. Now, this day and age, they come electronically. And a lot of times you're just notified that the statement is ready for you to review and you can print out. But, a monthly statement is always available. It's required, actually. So make sure you take a look at that. And make sure you have a very SIPC insured, very strong, large custodian. A money manager is not the custodian. A broker-dealer may or may not be a custodian. They can be both. Just make sure it's SIPC insured. And, check out your money managers. You can check them out through the SEC, the Better Business Bureau. There's something called an ADV that is required by money managers to give to potential clients or clients to read. And I know for a fact many money managers do not do that. I do. And this describes their company, what they do. Do you have questions about reading the economy or the market or how to pick a money manager? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. We turn now to our 24-hour day, 7 days a week listener line. Let's talk to Dave in Redwood City. How you doing, Dave?
This is Ed in Redwood.
Oh, they wrote Dave. I'm sorry, Ed. How you doing?
That's okay. Fine, thank you, sir. Two questions. The first one concerns a company, Feral Gas Products, FGP, which I own. It's been going down quite a bit. Any insight about that one?
SG as in George P?
Yes. Okay.
FGP. Okay, got it. Okay. FGP. Okay, that is, let's take a look. It's a really tiny company, right, Dave? I mean, it's pretty small. 641 million market cap means it's a micro cap. It's a master limited partnership. engaged in the distribution of propane and related equipment and supplies in the U.S. through 878,000 customers. Propane gas. They lost $6.68 a share last year. Now that's an anomaly. There's something wrong there, and I can't tell you what it is, because normally they make about between 12 and 40 or 50 cents a share. I mean, that's the norm. They're going to make 12 cents a share this year and then 39 cents a share next year. And based on next year's earnings, you're looking at about a 20 PE, maybe 18 PE, because the stock is trading at $6.60. The problem you have here is the sales are not going up. They were down 19% in the most recent quarter sales. So there's a problem with sales, and it's how they're going to make more money when sales are so weak, even though they're paying a very strong 6.1% dividend yield. Is that what attracted you to this, Dave, the dividend?
Yes, except it was 10% for a long time. It was a $2 dividend for many, many years.
Yeah. See, they can't pay a $2 dividend when they're only going to make 12 cents this year and 39 cents next year. How do you pay that kind of dividend with a negative cash flow of $5? So I would not buy this, Dave. I would not. It's too risky.
I already have it. I already own a good bit of it. The debt structure quite bad for it? Have severe?
I don't see it. They're not giving me enough information on the software I'm pulling up about the debt. So I'm not sure, but it would be something I would look for a place to get out instead of holding on to. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
So if it gets back up to $8 or so, man, I'd be out.
Okay.
Okay.
One follow-up question, a different thing. My wife and I each have rollover IRAs. When each of us dies, when the second one dies,
right?
Can three adult children inherit the money, or does it have to be just one?
Nope, you can have 100 people inherit the money.
Okay.
You just got to make sure that the beneficiary of the IRA. Let's say you die. Of course, your wife is 100% beneficiary, but then you can also make subsequent beneficiaries of the three kids at the same time, right now, today. You know what I mean? Your IRAs. So you can do that easily. Okay, Dave?
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for the call.
That's all needed. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to James in New York. How are you doing, James?
I'm fine. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. Thank you. Notice I haven't coughed yet. I don't know if you've been listening to the radio, but I've had a sinus infection finally going away.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, man, don't get those. It's not fun.
I wanted to talk about Arconic today, ticker
sure.
symbol ARNC. I bought this about 3 weeks ago, and I've just been enjoying every minute of it. It hasn't stopped going up since
I
bought it.
Yeah, great job.
And I noticed that there's some insider activity going on where there's a lot of insider buying.
Oh, yes.
Just from a technical standpoint, is this good that I did? I bought it in an effort to diversify. I didn't know it was going to take me on the ride that it has. So I'm hoping.
Well, let me tell you the other thing you did right then. Okay. First, you did right by making sure you're diversified. But the other thing you did
right,
if you look at this chart, you'll see that this stock has gone sideways for about a year within a range of $18 to $23, back to $18. Yeah, just kind of hanging around. Not doing much. And at the same time, all that year, insiders are buying. Okay. Now, you could say, well, those insiders don't know what they're doing. But most insiders have some kind of clue. And the consistency of the buys by the insiders should give you some kind of clue that, man, maybe something's good happening here. Also, next year's earnings was increased, and the year after's earnings estimates were increased. So even though sales are flat and still don't look very good, there was something percolating underneath. So even though you may have not realized it, you bought what we call a basing stock. This is a great lesson for everybody. If you look at a stock that's really solid, and this is a $13 billion company, it's not going out of business, even though it's not doing great. But if you're looking at, and you feel that this is in the commodity, Arconic, everybody, commodity sector, worldwide miner, Butite and producer of alumina and prima by aluminum. This is a commodity stock. And if you've been here, listening to the radio, I've been saying, going back well over a year, you know, it's probably time to start moving into commodity stocks. And this one just took off from $18 at the beginning of the year to $30 now, $29.52. Okay, that's a huge move in a pretty short period of time. By the way, James, that kind of worries me a little bit. It's moved so fast in so short a time. So don't get panicky if it gives some of that back, because it probably will. But I think, you know, you did the commodity section was beaten up so much, there's got to be a time when it'll turn around. The stock itself was basing, and while it was basing, insiders were buying, and earnings were still going up even though sales were kind of flat. So I think you did a really good job. You did a good job with this thing.
And you think this is a good long-term position?
I think so. It's a $13 billion company. If the economy gets a little bit stronger, in the world economy gets a little bit stronger, it's only going to help this stock. Okay? James,
okay,
thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Thank you for the call. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. We're here to talk about your money. Not just investing either. We can talk about anything financial, insurance, real estate, college savings. 888-99-CHART, how to begin the conversation. You can do it right now. Let's talk to Dan in Palo Alto. How you doing, Dan?
Hi, Steve. Good to talk to you. Listen to you daily on 1220.
Thank you.
I just had a quick question about Netflix. I got in. It's up about 40%. I'm getting a little nervous. I just wondered what you would do, whether you would hang on to it and put a kind of a 10% something, some kind of stop, or whether you would take some profits.
I probably would follow it with a stop at this stage, not necessarily take profits. You have about 40% gain? Is
yes, that what sir. You
uh-huh. That's a really good gain. I would follow it with a stop, though. So I won't, I wouldn't let it fall more than, I would not let it fall more than 10% off the high. Okay, and the high looks like about 145, so that's what, $14.50. So $130-ish.
I got you. Yeah.
And then I'd move that up. If it starts going up, remember it's always from the high. If it makes another new 52-week high, you got to refigure that, right?
I could just put a 10% trailing.
Your custodian will allow that. Sometimes they don't.
Okay.
You got to mentally do it.
Okay? Clear.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
Thanks,
so
Dan.
Much.
Appreciate the call. Thank you. And the reason why we're doing 10% on Netflix is because it's volatile and it moves quickly, and therefore you don't want to put it too wide. You don't want to put it too tight of a stop, because you'll be just stopped out and it'll go right back up. So you gotta. Every stock has its own characteristics that you have to look at. Let's go to Steve in Oakland. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, Steve. How's it going? Hopefully, you're doing well.
Hey, I am doing good, and I can breathe again, so I'm happy.
Awesome. I can tell it's good. I have a question on a particular REIT. It's called GEO.
Yes.
It's a prison REIT. You discussed it in the past. I'm actually up 44%, and I'm getting a little bit scared now. There might be a pullback. I don't know what Trump's going to do with this immigration reform. I'm thinking of maybe just closing my position entirely. I don't know. It's up 44%. Wondering what you would do with that position.
Okay. I'm going to have to take it after the break. I have less than 30 seconds, and I don't want to cut short the answer. So can you hold on there a second, Steve?
Of course. Yes,
thank
of
you.
Course.
Thank you. This is InvestTalk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. When you're an InvestTalk insider, you have instant access to useful information. Lots of information, all of our fingertips, anytime you want, need them, all at your fingertips, anytime you want them or need them. You can sign up free anytime at investtalk.com. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, you're not going to like it, but the mutual fund industry and the ETF industry has started to shrink. So there are numerous mutual funds have been disappearing, combined, leaving, going out of business, whatever. And they've the huge growth of mutual funds and ETFs is now starting to look like it's reversing. So start thinking of, and there's good reasons for it. They got in the ETF, you know, they got all these fancy leverages and leverage ETFs that don't work. And they got way ahead of themselves on these exotic instruments. You're going to see more and more and more closings of ETFs and mutual funds. There's 25% of 25% of all ETFs closed last year, 2016. Did you know that? 25% closed. That doesn't mean there's not more opening as well, but 25% of existing close. Even while the stock market is rallying, they close. So they expect about another 750 of them, expect around 750 funds and ETFs to be dead by New Year's Eve. So between mutual funds and ETFs, more are going to be closed, 750 of them. Now, yes, there are thousands of them, but that's significant. It's really significant. Expect exchange-traded notes to virtually disappear. Okay, exchange-traded note, ETNs. Why? Because some of them are completely disconnected from their underlying asset. Particular one, crude oil total return, ETN, that had no relationship to that because of the fancy instruments they tried to duplicate the movement of the underlying asset, and it didn't work. And you got to be careful about liquidity coming up. Liquidity, you know, of these funds. So not all funds are very liquid. So, and of course, you got the bond funds that are not working because interest rates are starting to creep up. So that's going to continue to not work. So you might see some bond funds just go under as money leaves them. Anyways, there's a lot of other reasons, but just be aware that when you're buying ETFs, make sure it's one of the ones that has a lot of volume. It's kind of more on the popular side, not some exotic little thing. That is not, we never recommend leverage funds at this point. Just be aware of these things. Be careful. Now, what else am I going to talk about besides that today? I want to talk about Yellen. Did you hear what she said today about interest rates? We're going to discuss her. And do you need to file an income tax return? Do you have to file an income tax return? You might be surprised by the answer. And mortgage lending is very tight, according to Urban Institute research. Mortgage lending is very tight. Now, I'm going to take a little bit of exception to that, by the way. I'm not going to just agree with it. And so I'm going to talk about that. The market did hit rally. It was kind of flat to down in the early hours, but it rallied up 92 points, 92 points for the Dow, 19 points for the NASDAQ, and 9 points for the S&P. So that was, and what was that all about? Nothing much. There's no reason. This is purely a Trump rally, you know, promises that he's made that the market is anticipating. Reduction of red tape, with the Dodd-Graham Act, some repealing of some of the provisions, and tax reduction for individuals and corporations. We don't know what it looks like yet. We haven't seen anything. But those promises are what's pushing the market. Let's go to David in San Leandro. How are you doing, David?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm feeling much better. I can tell you that.
I'm so glad you're doing better. When you hurt, we all hurt a little bit.
Oh.
I want to thank you for the special thing you do for all of us amateurs, okay?
Thank you.
You're so giving in information. A couple calls back, somebody mentioned about insider trading. Uh-huh. How the heck do you know when this is going on and how it goes on?
You don't. Well, let me rephrase that. Insider trading is illegal. Insider buying let me start over. Okay. Insider trading connotes that they're trading on information that's not public, and that is illegal. They can't do that. Insiders can buy their stocks or sell the stocks they own. They can do that. But you don't want to call it necessarily you know, you got to be careful. They can buy it if all the, if in the public marketplace, they can go out and buy stock just like you and me. They have the complete freedom to do that. But they're not supposed to be doing that on information that's not based on information that the whole, all public already knows. Now, how do you find out if there are buyers by the insiders? They're buying their stocks. We have software. There's a software called, MarketSmith. MarketSmith. And it tells me buyers and sellers. And it's the buyers that you're most interested in because sellers always are there because that's how they make money. So you have to buy the software, David. And that's kind of expensive. We're heading to part two of Monday Invest Talk. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast will continue next. But first, a short commercial. We talk to you from time to time about KPP Financial's investment programs. KPP Financial combines their experience with forward-thinking planning to give their clients the best possible opportunity to reach their retirement goals. KPP offers five individual programs to match up with various life situations, including those investing in their employer's 401k program. And these programs vary in design and, of course, in their purpose. From aggressive, for those looking for optimum growth, to those designed to keep risk at an absolute minimum. And at KPP Financial, you can be assured that they're investing their own money in these same programs called parallel investing, and it's really an assurance of their continuous vigilance. Their money's riding right along with yours. When you're ready to see more about these programs, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab. And now let's continue with the podcast. Looking ahead to our next Invest Talk, don't geek out about small bore investment problems and give short shrift to the major ones. How to set your investing priorities. That's one of our talking points next time on Invest Talk. We hope you can join us.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Art in Menlo Park. How are you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, I just wanted to see if this would be a good level for Dollar Tree.
Yes.
I'm going to wait. It drops a little bit more, but it's been going up lately.
I think it's time to buy, Art. The Dollar Tree, everybody, operates almost 14,000 discount variety stores in 48 states and Canada, offering merchandise at a fixed price of a dollar. See, now, Mart, this kind of company will not be affected by the internet. Not like the big box stores I've been whining about, saying don't buy them, Macy's and those kinds of stores. Because Dollar Tree caters to a certain type of person, very price-conscious person, lower-income person, and these stores are doing very well. They're going to increase their earnings next year by 60%, that's 60%, and the year after by another 19%. That's going to be $4.51, and it's an $80 stock. So the PE is going to be 20, and the five-year average is 15 to 39. And Art, yes, it could go lower, Art, it could. But I think it's bounced off this $74 range three times in 1 year. And so it's bouncing again. And I think it's going back up to the 90 area. I really do.
Oh, sounds good. Okay. Yeah, just double-checking to see what you thought. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. DLTR is a symbol, everybody. They don't pay a dividend. As I said, $19 billion company. Sales have fallen. They're very erratic quarter after quarter sales. I mean, one quarter be over 100% increase, and next quarter could be just a 1% increase. Very erratic, probably because of how they buy and sell things, because they have to buy things on discount, you know, in bulk, because remember, they're charging only a dollar per item. So it's an interesting concept, just an interesting concept. 888-99-CHART, Janet Yellen said the Fed is likely to raise at the next meeting. She said that today. Now, she also said it was going to be data dependent, which is what she always says that. But if inflation and employment continue on the same path as now, the Fed is likely to raise in the next meeting. When is that? March. It's the middle of February now. It's March. Now, remember, the Fed at the beginning of the year indicated or suggested that they're going to raise rates three times or so this year. If they raise in March, that'll be the first increase. Remember, the last increase was in December of last year, March. If you take a survey of all the market pundits out there, about most, a majority of them think that the Fed's going to raise twice this year. Twice, not three times. And I'm more on the twice bandwagon myself, unless growth really takes off. I just don't see that happening. Could, but I just don't see it happening. But she has, just expect a raise. I think it's better than, good odds that we will raise the rates in March. Because the economic numbers have been, getting ever so slightly better for the last couple of months. So unless jobs completely fall apart in February, and which we'll know by the first part of March before the Fed meeting, they're on that path. And of course, that's what they're saying. They're data dependent, meaning, they want to see inflation and they want to see employment continue to be on the same path. That's what they want to see. Okay, how about we go to San Francisco? How you doing, San Francisco?
Fine, thanks.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm all right, and you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I needed to know on Velocity Vanguard Income. The symbol is VWINX.
Okay, that's
I needed, uh-huh. I needed your opinion.
It is a very good fund, a very large fund. Morningstar has it as 5 stars. It's Vanguard Wesley Income. They take below average risk and have a higher average return. So it's a very good fund. It is six. The negative part of it, remember, it's income. So 60% of this fund is in bonds. That means if interest rates rise, the bonds values of the fund of those holdings will go down. So it still is the best fund in the category, and it always has been for some time, and I still think it will be in the future. But the entire category is probably not going to do that great because of the huge bond portion. They only have 6% in U.S. I'm sorry. They have 32% in U.S. stocks and 6% in non-U.S. stocks, but 60%. In bonds. So just
wow.
So just be aware that the bond portion is probably not going to perform very well. But the fund is the best one in its category. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Let's go to Ron in Fremont. How you doing, Ron?
Yeah, hi. Good evening. I have 2 questions, and they're small, actually. One is I would wanted to buy VIX calls, and, assuming that VIX has been so low, I can't measure it, but I wanted to know what are your thoughts on VIX, VIX.
Uh-huh. The VIX is a volatility index, and it's generally called the fear gauge, everybody. If there's fear in the stock market, you see it in the VIX. And the VIX is a relationship between puts and calls. And if the more fear there is in the market, this VIX will spike up. And the less fear in the market, it'll go down. And, of course, it's been going down, and is quite low right now. So are you betting that you think the VIX, that the fear is going to start rising and you want to buy it low? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, yes, I want to buy a low. I wanted to double it up, actually, in the sense I wanted to buy, the put credit spread and actually wanted to go longer in the calls, actually.
Okay, so are you trying to protect your overall portfolio of a fall by doing this?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And then that's probably a good strategy, Ron. I think the VIX can stay low for quite some time. But as far as, quote-unquote, trying to insure the rest of your holdings as they keep going up and up and up, it gets more and more risky. And if you do some kind of hedging strategy, and that, everybody, is what we call this, he's hedging his portfolio with something that will go in the opposite direction. At least he hopes it will go in the opposite direction as the market. And the VIX tends to do that. I'll warn you, though, don't try to use the VXX, which is the ETF for the VIX, because it doesn't move up and down like the regular VIX. Doing puts and calls on the VIX itself is probably smarter. So, Ron, I think what you're doing is just fine, but just don't think it's a long-term investment that's going to make money for you. It's more of a hedge against problems for the market.
Got it.
Okay?
Got it. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Thank you. A survey showed that 73% of investors say keeping my money safe is more important to me than trying to generate returns. Risk management is the foundation of successful portfolio management. It's the foundation. If you don't have a sense about how much risk you're willing to take, your investing approach is never going to be what you think it's going to be. So I invite you to use our risk analysis tool. Start down the path of trying to figure out how much risk you're comfortable taking. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab.
Maybe it's time to push the reset button. Start fresh. One of the services we provide to a limited number of our listeners is a free checkup. Steve sets aside dates for these retirement portfolio reviews each month. If you're not within range of our California offices, Steve meets via Skype and telephone. It's easy to arrange. It's a first-come, first-serve kind of thing. To save your time, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then schedule a meeting.
888-99-CHART. Let's go talk to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you, Steve. I followed you on this trade, Teva, and I was wondering at what price would you want to sell it or just continue holding it?
My plan is to hold it for a longer term. And I just think it's too cheap. I still think it's cheap, even though it's come off its bottom up. Teva, everybody, T-E-V-A, Teva Pharmaceuticals, Israel developer of generic specialty and over-the-counter drugs. And they've had lots of problems. And, Mike, you probably know about the problems. The CEO was recently quit. Before that, they had allegations of bribery. It's a $35 billion company. It's huge worldwide. I just think the earnings, and if you remember right, Mike, have you been listening to me on Teva the last few weeks?
Yes, I have.
Okay, remember I said that the most recent quarter, the sales have turned around, up 15%. And that gives me, but we don't have that was the third quarter of 2008. We didn't have the fourth quarter. Well, now we have the fourth quarter. And I said at that time, it looks like sales have turned, and the price is, they're going to make $4.80 next year, $4.88, and it's a $34 stock. Really, it's a value play, a deep value play. Now we have the fourth quarter earnings, and they're up 33%. So you've always turned that around. And yes, all those other problems, Mike, all I see it as those other problems, they all got built into the price of the stock because it was at 50 or 52, 53 earlier in the last year, middle of last year. And then it got down to 32. All that, I think, was priced. All that bad news is priced in the stock. And I think it's going back up to 50s. It's going to go back up to 50s. So I think you wait, Mike. You hold on to it.
Thank you very much. Yes, I will.
Thank you. TEVA. Now, we could sell it. We made a quick profit, 5% or so. Not enough for me. I want more. I'm greedy. Remember, there's bears, bulls, and pigs in the market, the stock market. Bears, bulls, and pigs get slaughtered. But I don't think we're being piggish. It's still cheap. So we're going to hold on to it for a while. Okay, I had an email question come in. I was wondering, this is from Chris. I was wondering what your value would be on Interdigital, IDCC. The revenues seem to be growing and growing, and they are signing more and more licensees. I listen to your show, but never have a chance to call. due to my work schedule. Okay, so let's look at IDCC. Okay, and that's Interdigital Corporation. And let's take a look at, see if I can see where he's saying about sales, punching in the symbols. Designs wireless modems, ICS used in notebook computers, pads, mobile handsets, and wireless infrastructure. Sales turned around tremendously in the most recent quarter that they have, September 16, up 100%. Quarter before that, it was down 36%. The sales are pretty erratic. Earnings are going to be $8.71 for 2016. That is a 157% increase. But then in 2017, it's going to go back to $3.30. So if there's something special going on, there's something happened where they had those huge profit. Did they sell something? They did receive a patent license agreement from Apple. Maybe that's pushing them. Their stock has been pushed up and up and up. It's now it's at now $101, but next year it's only going to make $30.30. That's a 30 PE. It's not cheap. It's already run up. I don't think I wouldn't buy it. It's already run up to buying it would be chasing performance. I don't like chasing performance. Long term, that never works out. It has to come back. It has to have a correction. Then you may consider it. But I'd also want to know why did it make $8.71 a share in 2016 when it's normally making $3 to $3.50 a share? What happened that year? Something happened. And I need to find out before I would consider buying it. I need to know. I got to know. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Do you have to file an income tax return? Do you have to? The answer is no. You don't have to file an income tax return. But there's a big caveat. That means you make very little income. You can still make some income. So there was a question asked, if you're about a specific situation. A lady was 82 years old, has Social Security benefits, $11,400 a year, has IRA distribution of about $1,000, and did she need to file income tax? In that case, the answer is no. And if you're only collecting Social Security and you don't have any active income, you only use about half the Social Security as income to pay income tax on right now. But all this, you need to talk to an accountant. Don't file taxes, no matter how little. You need to make sure you're following the rules. You also don't want to leave the government with some money of yours, because maybe you had low income taxes. Maybe you had income taxes taken, and you had a very low income, but you still had it taken, that you get all that money back. Don't forget to file a return to get it back. You're listening to Invest Talk. A reminder, if you can't get near a phone or would like to ask a question directly, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Contact Steve or Contact Justin, and we promise to get back to you.
Hey, Steve or Justin, I have a question about Philip Morris International. PM is the ticker symbol. When they sunk down pretty low about a month ago, I bought them at $87 a share, and they've gone up pretty quickly to $102 a share. I didn't think they were going to go up that quickly. I was anticipating more of a longer hold. Do you think I should sell the stock due to the quick move back up, or do you think we're at fair values for the stock, and is it worth holding for the long term? I listen to you guys on podcast. Thank you very much.
Well, for the long term, you're going to buy it for the dividend because it's paying 4.1% now at this higher price. So for the long term, you buy it for the dividend, you hold it for the dividend. But you're correct, it has moved up very fast in a short period of time, and it's really at the top of its expense, for it to be expensive. The five-year PE range is 14 to 24, and it's at 23 right now. So you would not hurt my feelings by taking profits here. and wait till it falls back down, which could be, it'll be sometime this year. I don't know when. And if it falls back down, you can always buy it back. But always consider that you have to pay capital gains tax, and it might be, it sounds like it'll be a short-term capital gains tax. And make sure you compute that within your net return on the stock. So if you're a long-term holder, then you don't worry about this spike and you live through the next fall and don't worry about it. Just put it in a drawer and leave it alone and you'll get that dividend and it'll be fine. But it's not going to get much above $100. It's just not. Because the earnings are, last time, it's going to make $5.26 next year. And that's 2018. The last time it made that much was in 2012 and in 2013. In 2013, it made $5.40, and the high was $96. So it was more money back then, but it only got up to $96. So I think you're at the top of its price. This is where it's going to slow down. Now, you could follow up with a pretty close stop. So if it does continue up, you still can't, you still get the benefit. And if it falls to a certain, you know, tight level, and I make it tight, maybe no less than $100, take the profits and run. PM everybody, Philip Morris. And of course, they're the tobacco maker. I probably should have made that clear, but I think most people know that PM, Philip Morris, is the tobacco maker. Mortgage lending is very tight. This is according to the Urban Institute research. They say there was 1 million mortgages that could have been offered in 2015 that weren't. And that's simply because if they would have had more a balanced lending conduct by the lenders. Now, I'm not buying this. Okay, some other stats they threw out there. 33% of the current of the credit low credit score apps for filed, 33% of those file for a mortgage were low credit apps, 33 of the mortgage requests. And they're saying, well, in 2000 was 50%, and it was 62% in 2006. Well, so 2006 is when everything, anybody could borrow money for a house. And you know, it amazes me that the pundits and people who write about mortgages think that the mortgage industry should lighten up and issue more mortgages. I'm not buying that. They should have a certain set of criteria. You need 20% down. You need 33% loan to value, a loan to income, 33% of your income available to pay the loan. Those standards have been around for umpteen bazillion years, and they work. And every time they deviate from those standards to any degree, with any large degree, that's when we have financial troubles, our whole economy. So I'm not saying they shouldn't be maybe a little bit looser, but we don't want to have no money down loans, or you don't have to, you know, your salary, maybe 50% of your salary toward the loan when the norm is 33. Why do that? Why take that risk? I don't think the banking industry do it. And why? One of the reasons is because we don't want to bail them out again. We, the citizens, we don't want to bail them out. Anyway, our time's up for this hour. Are you one of our InvestTalk insiders? It's free. It's a free service making information and education available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, including our webinars, when you can play whenever you want to. Sign up for free on InvestTalk.com. Click on the InvestTalk tab. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, and on behalf of Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thanks for being with us today. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.